Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill Leff. It's her, Wendy Snyder. It's Bill and Wendy Show. It's the Tuesday edition. We're thrilled that you're here. We're in the Allstate Showcase studio. It should be a good one. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, I'm thrilled that you're here, Bill.
Thank you.
It's much easier when you're here.
Well, it's easier when you're here, too, although you said something very alarming to me just moments ago.
What?
Paging through the Chicago Sun-Times, you came upon the cartoon Ziggy that's been in existence since biblical times. Ziggy is referenced in the Bible a couple of times. And you said, I don't like Ziggy. I hate Ziggy.
I'm sorry.
How could you hate Ziggy? That guy's been through everything, Wendy. How could you hate Ziggy?
I've grown tired of Ziggy.
Have you really?
I can't even believe I looked at it today. And then how long has Love Is been running?
Love Is has been in there a long time. That's the two naked people with the big eyes who just find everything that they do attractive. Yeah, it's been in there a long time.
Since the 1960s.
Has it really?
Yeah, it started in the 1960s, and then it was first published in 1970.
My mom used to clip them every once in a while, and she would put one on the refrigerator, and it never made any sense in our lives. I always wondered why she would select certain ones. It would just be like, Love Is that look he gets on his face when he opens jam. And you just go, well, what happened in our lives that made you want to clip that?
Does your dad like jam?
Not really, no. No, there was no correlation at all.
Sometimes there would be appropriate ones where it would just, you'd look at it and go, oh. But, I mean, really.
My mom also would read us, every day, she would read us Rivets. Do you remember Rivets?
Yes,
the dog? And that one wasn't good, but she'd go, oh, that Rivets. She would read us the Rivets for the day, and we would all look at each other like, Rivets is ridiculous. It doesn't pay off ever.
Does anybody read the comics anymore?
Good question. That's a great question. I don't know.
I read Dennis the Menace. That's the only one.
Regularly?
Yeah.
Mira, how...
It's one little... What's it called? Cell.
It's a box. It's one box.
Yeah, one box.
The guy who did Dennis the Menace for a million years, Hank Ketchum, died long ago.
Oh.
So is it a new guy or are they recycling old Dennis the Menaces?
I don't know, but he's still the same Dennis.
Yeah. Still friends with Joey and Margaret?
Still, you know, Mr. Wilson can't stand him.
He gives him a headache, that Mr. Wilson.
How can you read that every day, Mary?
That's the only one I read. I don't know why.
Do you laugh out loud, though? When you read it, do you actually?
No.
No?
I don't. I don't like comics. It's weird. My daughter reads them all the time.
She does?
Yeah, she reads the Sunday comics. I don't know why.
Are they still in color?
Yeah, on Sunday only.
I thought maybe they cut back.
And you can still take Silly Putty and, you know, copy
right.
them.
That was the only reason I loved comics.
That's the best.
To copy it with Silly Putty?
And then stretch them out.
And make them real fat.
Do you remember at night, because I had a theory, when you and I were doing nights at another radio station, I said Nancy has been in the Sun-Times every day since 1946 and has not been funny once.
Ever. Never.
And then we read it every day and we challenged people to laugh at it. And it just wasn't
never
funny. Aunt Fritzy, very attractive lady. I'm not taking anything away from Aunt Fritzy. That lady had it going on. And Sluggo, there are some problems with Sluggo, obviously.
He was a bully. He was the first bully.
Was Sluggo her brother or her boyfriend?
Her friend. Platonic friend,
Right. Her BFF.
Yeah, her BFF.
With benefits or no benefits?
No benefits.
Okay.
Have you seen Sluggo?
Yeah, the bald dude. With,
yeah. He was too
stubble.
Mean. Yeah.
He had stubble head.
He did. I just want to know if anybody still reads the comics other than Mary Vandeveld.
And Mary
read
only reads one.
I just read
just one box.
I can't. I don't have the patience to read more than one box. So it's just,
right.
Just
if it goes
box.
Longer than that, you're like, I can spend the day reading Tank McNamara.
Especially like the soap opera ones. Does anyone read those?
The girls in Apartment 3G?
You know, like Dick Tracy or whatever. You know, the ones that are just keep going and then they have no ending after one day. You're like, what?
Dick Tracy's not still around, is it?
Dick Tracy's still around.
How about Family Circus?
Family Circus is fun because
like
you can trace their footsteps around the house.
That's lame, you guys.
Oh, come on. Really? You don't like that one at all?
I'm debuting a new comic that we're going to do every day.
Oh, no.
Mine is Hate Is.
Instead of Love Is?
Yes.
Here's today's Love Is. Having you in my heart wherever I go.
All right. We were wrong. That's a great one.
And the naked boy is walking backwards like he's running away from home with a little dream in his head of the girl smiling.
Her Love Is should be that she hangs out with a guy that doesn't have any genitalia because he doesn't.
See, to me, that's not love.
She's willing to give in to that. She goes, I see this guy naked every day. He's got nothing down there. I'm sticking by him. That's love right there.
Hate Is. I'm debuting it
what
today.
What is your Hate Is going
to
be?
Today, Hate Is. People who don't let you in when you're trying to change lanes. That's what hate is. I hate you.
I think more people will read that than love it.
They're all going to be car related, though, don't you think?
No, I'll vary them.
You'll switch it around a little bit?
You got enough going on elsewhere in your life.
Yes, I do.
All right. We have a bunch of things on today's show.
Including? We're qualifying more people for the Barry Manilow tickets. So let's just get this out here right now at the beginning of the show. Sometime today, and we'll tell you when, we are going to play a snippet of a Barry Manilow song. This will actually be the snippet. That is the audio version of Love Is.
Yeah, I guess it is.
When you hear that, and we'll tell you when to listen for it, you need to be the 10th caller at 312-981-7200, and you'll qualify for the chance to win a pair of tickets for Barry Manilow's final tour one last time at the United Center on February 14th. You can spend Valentine's Day with the man. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's the 13th.
Oh, Valentine's Eve?
Yes.
It's still good.
Oh, no. It is a February 14th show. We are going to pull the winner on the 13th, Friday the 13th. Lucky 13th. And can I just say, have you heard the story that Mandy's about a dog?
I have heard that, yes.
That is an urban myth.
Oh.
Can I tell you that?
Sure.
Scott English wrote the lyrics to that song. It was originally recorded in 1971 as Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the name was changed to avoid confusion with that Looking Glass.
The sailors
song.
Say, Brandy, you're a fine girl.
God, yeah, I love that song.
That's a good song. That's solid.
But the bit about Mandy being about Manilow's dog is an urban myth. Songwriter and original performer Scott English says he was awakened by a phone call from a reporter wanting to know who Brandy was. And he said, I would have said anything to get rid of him. So I spat out the first thing that came to mind. It was about a dog like Lassie, and I had sent her away. Now you go away. And he hung up on him.
Oh. So Manilow, who was a songwriter himself, his biggest hit was written by somebody else?
Isn't that weird?
I didn't know that.
Huh.
He writes the songs.
He writes the songs that makes the whole world sing.
Yes, he does.
I think that guy wrote that song, too.
Oh, he did? Oh, wow.
Oh, no, looks like we made it. Richard Kerr wrote the music for that.
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, finding out that he didn't write many of his hits.
For a guy who writes all the songs.
Left Each Other All the Way.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know that one.
Last weekend, I was in New England, and I was going over some of the titles.
Just in case it came up on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, you're good.
He does research, man.
I love it.
All right, we'll tell you when to call in for that. And if you'd like to go to see Barry Manilow, and who wouldn't? I mean, really, what a way to spend Valentine's Day. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Awesome job on that.
That's nice of you. Thank you. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about comics in the papers. Do you still read them at all? There was a time where that was a big deal. I remember it was either the Tribune or the Sun-Times when we were in high school made a big deal that their comics were expanding. They were going to have more comics.
Yeah.
I don't know that that would play today, would it?
No. I mean, really, there are – who even – I hate to say it, but who reads a newspaper anymore? I like to.
I do too.
I like actually, you know, if I'm, I like touching it. Right. I like smelling it.
Right, right. But I don't recognize, I'm going through the comics now. I don't recognize most of these names.
I know. Isn't that sad?
Do you know any of these? Pearls Before Swine.
Yes, that's pretty popular.
Daddy's Home. Grand Avenue. Curtis. Red and Rover.
Daddy's Home?
Daddy's Home.
that's the,
written by Woody Allen.
Oh.
Leo. L-I-O. Pooch Cafe, Monty. Now, here's what I do recognize. The Wizard of Id. That's been in there for a long time. Jumpstart, One Big Happy. I've never heard of that.
Is Crankshaft still around, that cranky old man?
Where's Crankshaft?
I bet that's gone.
Nope. I don't see Crankshaft.
Boy, with newspapers, it's a kind of I don't know which way to go with this. Either the comic strips are lucky to have a place in such a tiny newspaper,
right,
or they need the comics to help fill up something.
Right. I liked, you know, we talked for a little bit about the ones that were like soap operas, and there were a bunch of them. Like
serials, you mean, right?
Yeah, but because of the shortage of space, you know, you got three or maybe four boxes. Nothing could happen. Like, I still remember there was the one called The Girls of Apartment 3G, And all you'd get in a day was, like, they'd show two of the girls, like, sitting on a couch, and then there'd be a knock at the door, and one of them would say, I wonder who it is. And the other one would go, you get it. And that was it. That was the day. That's all. That was the whole storyline for the day.
Wow, that would have been an easy gig to write a comic strip.
Oh, you could have knocked that out in 20 minutes.
Do you write the whole story and then just, you know, cut parts of it so then you could do your work for a year in advance?
Yeah, you could work decades in advance.
Wow. 312-981-7200, and George is chiming in about the comics. What do you think, George?
Right. I have to chime in. A lot of people are going to hate me for this, but I have to say it. I interviewed a couple people for a position, and after the interviews, I had two, you know, pretty well-qualified candidates. I chose one guy over the other because the guy that I didn't choose, and it made a comic, Sunday morning comic book reference that he thought was a knee slapper, and I was so appalled that I decided not to hire him based on just that alone. And there's, I absolutely cannot, I have not laughed once in 30 years reading those
comics.
Isn't
that crazy?
I couldn't even handle it. Do you guys remember the Seinfeld episode where Elaine thought that comic was funny? The pig at the I Wish I Was Taller comic.
Oh, yes. I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I felt just that stone-faced, how are you producing in society look on my face was just frozen.
It cost a man a job, didn't it?
It sure did.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
No one hates him for that.
I don't hate him for
Hi,
that.
Hi, Darcy.
Hi.
You know about Crankshaft? We're great.
Yeah, he's still in the paper. Yeah, Crankshaft is, yeah.
In the Tribune?
No, well, I read him in the Northwest Herald.
Oh, he is? Okay. Because I don't see him in the Sun-Times. He must be a Tribune comic.
No, I think he moved to the suburbs in
the
80s.
Oh, he did.
Is he still cranky? Obviously, the name.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely cranky. And all his little missayings, I don't know what they're called when he redoes, you know, he words them to his... To his situation where he says things wrong, you know, about following, I don't know, what are they called? Malaprops or something?
Yeah.
He's still around. So, but anyway, I read the paper every day and I always read the comics. That's the best part.
Excellent.
But the malaprops or the misspoken word, that's a staple of the comics. That's like in almost every one, that's a gimmick that they use.
You can't go wrong with that.
Heavy on puns, too.
A lot.
Definitely.
Thanks, Darcy.
Thank you, Darcy.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye.
All right. I guess a lot of people read the
comics.
People
are reading them.
Who knew?
Hi. Hey, do you guys remember Blondie and Dagwood?
Of course.
Of course. The Bumsteads.
Yeah. Do you remember the TV shows where they had the movies in the late 60s, early 70s, black and white?
Arthur Lake and Penny Singleton.
Oh, of course. I knew you'd know that. I mean, you're the only person in the world that would.
Well, only under 80. Yeah, they were great.
Trivia book. Yes, I know. I don't even know if you can get them anymore.
They were fun to watch. Channel 9 used to run them all the time.
What was the dog's name?
Oh, I remember the boss's name was Mr. Dithers. The kids' names were Alexander and Cookie.
Jeez, Bill.
You don't kick a Siberian man if you don't know the dog's name.
Fido. It wasn't Fido, was it?
No, it wasn't. I can't remember. Daisy.
Was it Daisy?
That sounds familiar.
I want to say Daisy.
I can't remember the name.
That was their daughter.
Oh, their daughter's name was Daisy.
And their son was Alexander.
Daisy. Yeah, that's what I said.
Daisy was
and Cookie was the other one.
I don't know. Maybe it
Oh, Daisy the dog.
Daisy was the dog.
Well, oh, I'm sorry.
He was the dog.
Scott, never doubt Bill Leff when you're talking about...
I love that movie. Yeah, I know. He's remarkable.
He is?
Well, thank you.
You guys are very funny.
Thank you, Scott.
Almost as funny as Bob and Marianne.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Take care.
Seem to have lost the connection
That
there.
May have been a compliment. That may have been a slam. I don't know.
We have to take a break. We've got this hour's big story coming up. We have so many people on hold. If you want to talk comics, we're here for
you.
312-981-7200. That same number will get you through to text us. And Barry Manilow, we have to pick a time to tell people when to listen to Mandy. So pick a time, Bill.
Let's say 11:10.
All right. At 11:10, we are going to play.
Oh, wait, I have to say 11:05, don't I?
I don't care.
I think somewhere between 11:05 and 11:10.
How about 11:15?
Oh, that's crazy. All right.
We're going so far off the book on that, but 11:15.
All right. Then when you hear Barry Manilow, Mandy, just be the 10th caller, 312-981-7200, and you will qualify to win these tickets to spend Valentine's Day with BM.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that doesn't sound good at all.
Probably should, with Barry Manilow.
All right.
All right. The big story coming up next. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN, where we can be reached at 312-981-7200 by phone or by text.
And we were talking comics in the paper, and we forgot about Beetle Bailey. Beetle Bailey was always one that I used to read.
Is that still there? Do they still have Beetle Bailey?
That I'm not sure, but we were trying to figure out if anybody still reads the comics, and Anne, you do, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Every day.
I'm an old bird, and I enjoy you guys. You're funny.
Oh, thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Anne. Would you read us in comic form?
Definitely.
We should have our own comic strip.
You know what? That's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Another way to make a living.
And Anne, do you, when you read the comics, do you laugh out loud? Do they make you laugh out loud funny when you're reading them?
Yes.
They do. Okay. I was wrong then.
Yep. No, you were partially right, but an old lady like me has to laugh at something, and with all the bad news anymore,
yep.
Especially with all the sports figures,
mm-hmm.
These kids look up to the sports figures, and you got to have something to think that, good God, there's got to be some sensibility somewhere in the world today.
Well said.
Well, don't come here for it.
No, we will not provide that. Thank you so much, Ann.
You guys are good, though, but I enjoy your station. And you too, and you keep up the good work.
We'll do our best for you.
Thank you so much, Anne. Have a great day.
Seemed like a sensible lady.
Very.
Yeah.
I like her. And not related to either of us.
No.
That's good. Hi, Gail. You read the comics every day as well?
I read the comics every day. We get a Chicago Tribune, and I read them all, and then I do the jumble and the crossword puzzle.
Now, that I can see.
I do like the jumble.
Yeah, that's an exercise for your brain. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great.
How can you not read the comics? They're right there. You know?
That's true. All right, by proximity, yeah. Why would you?
Because usually, you know why, honestly, Gail? Because usually there's no payoff to some of these comics.
Them. I mean, I don't say I laugh out loud, but I kind of smile. I still read Peanuts. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a relief. You read the rest of the paper, it's sometimes kind of a downer. So
right.
You get a little comic relief.
It balances it out. All right.
Well,
I get that.
Thank you so much. And thanks for reminding me about the jumble. I got to get back to that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate it.
There were some texts from some people who had mentioned some of theirs that I think are still running, a couple of them anyway.
Yes. My husband reads Dennis the Menace every day and often guffaws loudly at it.
Oh.
Thank you, 773. Someone said these scrolls.
Someone
so
mentioned Pogo. Which
oh,
was,
yeah.
He was a turtle with friends that were all different. I remember there was like, he was friends with like a dog. You know how turtles and dogs will oftentimes become friends?
Yes.
So it was a pretty accurate depiction of that friendship. I think Walt Kelly was the guy who drew Pogo.
Arlo and Janice is mentioned. Garfield,
right? Jim Davis?
I miss the good old days of The Far Side and Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh,
those
yeah.
were very popular.
Those were classics. Farside had made me laugh several times.
And then, of course, we read the comics, and Family Circus is great. Wendy, get a heart.
That's Steve Bertrand's favorite, the Family Circus.
Mm-hmm. And 630, I'm 57 years old, and the first thing I go for in the Tribune is the comics. However, Love Is has so run its course. So I'm going to be right. doing Hate Is.
Are you going to start up Hate Is?
Yes, and I'm going to draw it.
Okay,
and I'm
going to
make us. There's going to be a guy with a baseball cap.
All right.
And I got to figure
and
out.
And no clothes? Because I could sue you, you know.
No, I'm going to put
if
clothes
you depict
on you.
Me inaccurately.
I'm going to put boxer shorts on you.
That's accurate.
All right.
All right, do that. So Hate Is coming to a newspaper near you soon.
Yeah, I mean, don't we have connections at the Tribune? Can I get it in there?
No, they know us. The last place that would publish this would be the Tribune.
That's a good point. special day today.
Oh, Steve Bertrand's birthday is today.
Happy birthday,
Steve! Happy birthday!
To
Thank you.
You.
It's
happy
you know,
birthday.
It's always a very big day for me. I like to set up a parade and big parties in my right. own honor and everything.
Right.
And since Facebook, there's no escaping it.
Everybody knows it's your birthday.
Yes. I'm not a big birthday person.
You don't like the attention called to it?
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I'm 52. I don't care how old I am. That never.
Oh, I thought you were way older.
A lot older.
Thank you.
Yep.
But I'm just not the big, you know, it's my birthday kind of guy. And now it's Facebook. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
See, ever since I hooked up with Bill Leff again, I have really kind of ignored my Facebook page, and I apologize to all the people whose birthdays I've missed.
Yeah, you got to do something nice to make up for that.
There are hundreds.
Take Steve out. He wants to go to Rainforest Cafe for his birthday. Take him to Rainforest Cafe.
Would you do that for me, Wendy?
Today?
Not too close to the animals, though.
Right.
I get scared.
Right, it gets a little scary in there.
Because they look real.
It's very realistic.
Do I have to get you a balloon?
No, I'll get my own balloons.
All right.
Right.
Good. Well, happy birthday.
I will insist on the lava cake.
That's a good time. Lava cake over at the forest, that's a great time.
I think I went there once with the kids.
That was my daughter's fit. Like when it was their birthday, and we're lucky because they're twins, so they had it on the same day. That was like a given.
Did they both like it, or just
loved it?
Really?
They loved it, and they would get so afraid when the actual, you know, you've been in there. There's like a little pretend storm and stuff, and they would cower. They'd be so afraid, but they still loved it.
Oh, the only thing I take out of that memory wise is the real looking trees that were in there.
Right.
That's really all I, and high prices.
Yeah.
Yep. Good food, but, you know, I didn't have the lava cake. That might have been my problem.
Oh, that's the difference. Well, after the show, you and Steve for his birthday.
All right. What time do you get off work?
About 5 o'clock.
Oh, forget it.
You're not in? Sorry, Steve.
I'll be home by then.
Next year.
Right, maybe next
Almost.
Year.
It's the thought that counts.
I think my birthday will be on a weekend in about 5 years, Wendy, so let's do it then.
Okay.
Mark your calendar.
Five years.
Don't forget.
I gotta put it in my phone.
Don't forget. All right, we have a lot more coming your way next, so stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. It's Steve Bertrand's birthday, for heaven's sakes. It's WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's WGN. 312-981-7200. That's the phone line and the text line. Did you see that? This is sad. You and I have discussed this in the past. Charles Manson was set to get married. Did you see this? To a 26-year-old woman.
Right.
Now it looks like they may not get married, that the marriage license that they applied for is going to expire very soon.
That's... Well, what, can't they get married before it expires?
Well, they could. I'll read you a little bit of the story.
Has she come to her senses?
Why do you say that? He seems like a nice enough fella.
Right.
A 26-year-old woman with the nickname Star, who says she's going to marry 80-year-old mass murderer Charles Manson, will have to wait just a little bit longer. Afton Elaine Burton, Star, as we know her, and Manson, or Manson, as we know him, got a marriage license. Wouldn't they? Doesn't this tell you they applied for a marriage license? They got a marriage license. Doesn't this tell you that anyone can get a marriage license? I mean, I know it's been such a debate in this country. Oh, no, two guys want to get married. Oh, no. So state by state, they've had hassles over this. But a woman goes into California to a courthouse and says, I want to marry Charles Manson. And they go, that'll be a moment. And then they hand her a marriage license.
Sign here. Stamp.
Isn't
approved.
That, right.
It is crazy.
It doesn't make sense. Afton Elaine Burton and Manson got the marriage license last year to stage a wedding inside the visiting room at the California State Prison in Corcoran, California.
What a girl always dreams about, yes. Having her wedding in a visiting room of a prison.
Yes.
Ever since I was a little girl, I've dreamt of that.
I think she met him on Mass Murderer Mingle. I think that's where she first met him.
Is that a website?
That's a website, a dating website for mass murderers. However, that license expires Thursday. She's only got 2 days to marry him, Wendy. You got to throw something together quick.
Well, why didn't they do it?
He's so busy.
What does he have to do?
He's got so much time.
And how could you look him in the eye, especially you, when Bill has given this trick. So listeners, beware of this if he ever meets you in public and he's making great eye contact. You're not really looking in their eyes, are you?
Yeah.
I thought you were looking right here.
Oh, well, somebody, who was it who told me years ago that the best thing to do is you want to look between their eyes.
Like between their eyebrows.
Right.
At the top of the nose. So what if you look there on Manson? It's up a little, but.
He would turn you into smoke. He's got the ability to just transform you into a.
But to see the swastika would just not,
oh,
you know.
How disturbing would that be?
I could never look him in the eyes because I'd be staring at that thing going, what were you thinking?
I imagine, and I think this comes from having daughters of my own, But what more uncomfortable situation do you have as your daughter comes home and says, hey, I've got some news. I met the guy. And you go, well, tell me about him. Because that's where the problem begins.
He's a little older.
On the good side, though, I always know where he is. I mean, there's positives and negatives to being married to Charles Manson.
Well, now, is somebody protesting this? Is that why it hasn't happened
yet? Yeah, do you
yet?
Know who's protesting it? Everyone on the planet Earth is saying, please don't do this, Star. Look around a little bit.
And how can that, how can that be a good marriage? I mean, they don't.
It can't be.
I know some people have a happy marriage and sleep in separate beds, but not in separate locations
right,
like this.
Right. Well, sometimes they allow for conjugal visits.
But still,
if I were her, I would avoid those at all costs, wouldn't you?
Well, no. If you were her, you would love him. The exposure. Which is it? I think it'd be perfect if she ends up not marrying him and just wanted people to know who she right. was. Star.
Right, right.
And Star then she'll Manson. Have a reality series.
It's funny you say that. Beginning, it doesn't say that that's what she's gunning for here. I shouldn't say gunning for. That's what she's aiming for. Even that sounds weird. But you got to think that somewhere in the back of her head, she's like, some network will want this, right? How would you like to be her former boyfriend? You know how you always go, did she move up or down on the ladder? So, like, at some point, she dated some other guy and left that guy for Charles Manson.
And I think his quote is, I told you she was nuts.
Right. Right. Now, do you believe me? Look who she's with. She's with Chuck. All right.
Chuck.
We've got news just moments away. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
I heard the birthday boy mention something about the side streets. And,
yeah.
But he's busy.
Steve is?
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you noticed this. As you drove around yesterday, there were some side streets that looked like just total frozen wasteland, like nobody got to it. It was impossible. And then other ones, it didn't even look like it snowed on. And I know priority one is they go by what streets need it the most, like what are your major thoroughfares, that gets top priority, and it should. But it's so strange to drive around an area and just go, what? They just, it looked like randomly chose certain streets to plow and others got nothing.
It was very weird. Kevin, you had a...
Well, I was going to say, the report was saying, Ram mentioned that like 90% of the streets have been touched at least once. My street has not been touched at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. I'm up in Ravenswood, and it's impossible to drive on.
Huh. Road.
See, I can't even imagine that. I mean, Michigan Avenue looks great.
Right.
I was on LaGrange Road yesterday. That was... The Stevenson was in decent shape. All the main thoroughfares, but you're right, these little side streets. And it was weird in my neighborhood because it seemed like all the east-west streets were plowed. And
really? But not the north-south?
No, and I mean, they did go across it maybe a couple times, but all I know is that about 7 o'clock last night, coming home from the grocery store down my street, mm-hmm. there were still giant like tire marks and tread marks,
sure.
and you're slipping and sliding because the temperatures dropped yesterday, and all that slushy stuff that was melting turned to sheets of ice.
Absolutely.
And we had a lot of that this morning still on the roadways.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen so many accidents this morning. Because, well, everybody came back to work and school. And
yesterday was awesome. There was no one on the road.
Yeah, and today they all came back, and it was icy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yikes.
And you know what? Mary has always said that Tuesday's the worst day in traffic.
It is. Yeah.
And today was took me an hour and a half to get in, what usually takes me 30 minutes.
Mary, it's a bad day.
Why would that be? I've heard you say that before, and I've tried to figure out the reason that Tuesday would
He's
be the worst.
He's saying nicely that he doesn't agree with you, Mary.
It doesn't make sense that Tuesday
would
be.
Well, if you take a long weekend, you take a Friday or a Monday, so that leaves Tuesdays. I think people schedule a lot of meetings on Tuesdays and things like that. I mean, don't you? Because people's brains are kind of working by Tuesdays. You know, Mondays, everybody's just kind of a slouch. And then Tuesdays, everybody's kind of back into
it. Kicks in on Tuesday.
Kicks in. And Wednesday's hump day. Thursday, you're thinking of the weekend. And, you know, Friday, forget it.
So Tuesday's the day.
Don't know why. But I've noticed it. It's true. I mean, from reporting traffic as many years as I have.
She would know, Bill. I'm going with Mary on this.
Sorry, Bill.
No, I agree.
Dave has called us, 312-981-7200. Where are you and how are your roads?
I'm out in Pilsen right now, and the roads are horrendous.
They've gone through once, though, at least. I mean, they were plowed one time at least, right?
I would tend to disagree. disagree with
really?
That.
Really? Wow. How do they get away with that?
And here's the thing. It stopped snowing, so they've had time to catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just came through, like, on 18th Street, and it's like the only thing that's happened is you had the vehicles that have been able to get out have drove through and broke it up and packed it down a little bit so that you can get through. There's no signs of the piles of snow on the side of the road that a plow had been through. It's just horrible.
And that's in Pilsen.
Yeah.
Home of the Pilsen Doughboy.
Many other things.
Right. Oh, so we're sorry you're going through this, Dave. That's terrible. They should do something about it.
Well, I'm a driver, and that's what I do. And, you know, you got to get there. You got to get out.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Of course.
Hopefully today's the day because they've been working on it. On Monday night, Streets and Sanitation had an emailed statement saying, based on ward superintendent's reports, snow removal vehicles have reached nearly 90% of neighborhood streets with at least one pass.
Yeah.
But you're saying...
Oh, that means Streeterville's at 100%, and Pilsen's at 10%. It'll average out to 90.
I get
that's
it.
Terrible.
Thank
all right,
you,
be
Dave.
Careful. Oh, that's awful.
John's calling from Cicero. What are the streets like in Cicero?
They are horrendous. They have not had a plow down any side street since the snowstorm has started. There is ruts that are terrible. Cars are getting stuck. School buses are getting stuck. Semis are getting stuck. It's ridiculous.
What happens if you call City Hall there and say to Cicero City Hall, hey, I pay taxes every year for this sort of thing to be taken care of, and there's nothing taken care of?
I've made numerous calls to Cicero Town Hall, to Larry Dominick, our Cicero president,
yeah,
my precinct captain, other precinct captains I've texted. I've got absolutely zero response.
Awful. That's terrible.
And it stopped.
I pay my taxes. What the heck is going on? Excuse me. What the heck is going on?
Yeah, don't not in front of Wendy, please.
Yeah, I'm so demure. John, I really get it. And, you know, it's one thing. We had 19 and a half inches, and it came down, you know, through
fast
the course of
furious.
The whole day.
Yeah.
But it's not like it has continued. So you feel like they would have been able to get on it
sure,
on Monday night. From 11 p.m. Monday night to 3 a.m. Tuesday, about 100 pieces of snow removal equipment will clear neighborhood streets. But I don't think that's happened yet. And there's been no snow. I haven't seen any plows even on the way to work this morning.
Right.
I'm getting pulled over. I have to go.
Okay, go ahead, John. Take care.
Just lie or cry. Why is he getting pulled over? Oh, because he's on
talking
on
a cell phone while he's driving.
You know how much that ticket is?
$100,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Now I feel bad.
And I don't know if he's in Cicero now, but he's calling to talk about the job that they're not doing in Cicero.
Oh, he is skewed.
I know.
Oh, man.
Beth's
on the line. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm in Chicago on the far north side. I live near the suburbs. They're all plowed. But you know what? All those cars can move off the street to allow their plows to do it. And in Chicago, they can come down the middle of the street, but it's just going to push it up on your car. So how are they supposed to do a good job if the cars are still there? And where can people put their cars?
See, my idea of a fold-up car is...
You want a fold-up car?
It's going to go really well someday if I can figure out how to execute it.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't go in your alley or your garage because you'll for sure be stuck because the plows don't go down the alley.
No, they. So. You know what's weird? Beth, seriously, in all the years I've lived in Evanston, we've never had a plow go down the alley. And my wife said yesterday, take a look in our backyard. The plow went down the alley and everybody who's parked behind their house like we do, you can't get out. It took her over an hour and a half to dig out because the plow plowed her in.
Right. So, I mean, the plows could go down the streets, but the cars are still parked there.
Right.
So, it's not going to help anybody.
Well, if you get the center of the street, though, and then obviously you're going to have to dig your car out, but the street should be passable for people who don't live on that block and are cutting through or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, by the schools aren't done and, not good.
Terrible.
Not good.
All right. Thanks, Beth. Oh, you got it. Well, that's all that counts.
And
as long as you get out.
I think we're getting more snow tonight, so.
A little bit more.
That'll be lovely.
Thanks, Beth.
Awesome.
Take
Thanks.
Care.
One more. Mike's on the line, 312-981-7200. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys doing today? Enjoying the show.
Thanks. You, sir. What's your situation with the snow and the plowing?
I work for a company for a number of years, and after 18 hours or 20 hours, they usually shut us down for to get a couple hours of sleep, because after 20 hours, your body starts to shut down.
So no, actually, it shuts down way earlier than that. That's amazing they go that long.
It is amazing.
Yeah. A lot of different companies have different policies on behind the wheel plowing.
Yeah.
It's more physically and mentally takes a toll on the body.
Absolutely. I mean, you can plow up people if you're not careful.
Right.
Right. So
it costs extra, but you could.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make that comment on the situation. Plus, with the city work in the state, they're, with the traffic, it's kind of hard to keep up with the snow.
I can imagine.
Mike, I totally understand this, but it's one thing if it had just kept snowing since Sunday. It has stopped, so there's been time to get a nap, a pretty decent 8-hour sleep, and then it just seems like the side streets, maybe they didn't go down them, and what, have they forgotten them? What, I don't understand how they can't get to them by now.
Well, they like I said, they got different policies out there, and they pretty much want to concentrate on, like for the city and state, they concentrate on the snow removal on the main arteries.
Right, and that's understandable.
Then they go to the side streets, kind of flip back and forth on everything. So my attitude is everybody's got to be patient on snow removal.
Yeah, but it gets so frustrating if you're locked in for a day or two and you know streets around you are plowed. You just go, well, why would they pick those streets and not my street? What am I doing wrong?
Right. Everybody suffers on everything.
Sure, of course. Mike, thanks so much.
All right.
Be safe. Who did the report a couple of years ago where they found out that most of the aldermen in the area's streets were plowed very promptly, but for those streets around them, they were having problems? Remember that on the news?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. This is interesting. 309, no way has a plow been on my street or anyone around us.
That's
I
terrible.
Live in Westtown. There has been a moving truck stuck in the middle of the road since Sunday.
Oh, that's awful.
I can't even believe that.
Yeah.
You'd think that, and I'm not criticizing, because they're doing their job, and the main thoroughfares, really, the Stevenson was in fantastic shape on Monday morning when
right,
I needed it to
was.
Be.
It was, yeah.
And the roads, the busy streets are in Lakeshore Drive's great.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
you got to be able to get to those, though.
Right, and it stopped snowing. It's not like this has been continual. That's what I'm a little puzzled about.
Yeah, it's baffling, isn't it? All right, we have more ahead. I'm Bill Left. That's Wendy Snyder. It's WGN. Are you listening? Did I read this right, that this storm we had on Super Bowl Sunday was the fifth worst snowstorm in Chicago history?
Yeah, but where's the attention? It was all these crybabies from New York who nothing even materialized.
Yeah, we didn't get... I don't know that we got the national attention for our snow that they got in New York for not having snow. That was a bigger story that they didn't have the snow than we'd have it. We had it. That's not fair.
I really expected this to be, you know, a big story.
Yeah.
But then again, it's winter in Chicago, and what are you going to do?
Right.
We're just going to suck it up and deal with it, Donna, aren't we?
Yes. I have an idea that I heard about where to put your car at night. School parking lots, they were plowed, and then cars would go in there at 7 o'clock at night. They had to pay, but they had to be out of there by 7 o'clock in the morning. And then the school would make money. People would have to pay $2 or something to park.
But how would you transfer once you brought your car to the parking lot? How would you get from the parking lot to your house? You just have to walk, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, schools are basically in all neighborhoods.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You are a genius, Donna.
Well, it wasn't my idea. Some PTA was doing that in some school, and they made a lot of money.
There's going to be one person, though, at least one, who doesn't come for their car at 7 in the morning. And then all that money they made, they're going to have to pay the tow truck driver to get that car out of there.
Or even, how about grocery store parking lots? Put a section so they could park in there for a while or something.
Well, that's not bad either. That could work.
At least till they plow the street, maybe.
Right, for a day.
They could plow at night.
Although those spots, like, think about your average grocery store. What do they have, 80 spots, 90 spots, maybe, right? Do they
I
have
bet
much
it's more
than that?
Yeah,
do they?
A ton more than that. Yeah. Where do you shop?
The little grocery store in Evanston, the real little one.
That's just an idea that I heard on the news about a year ago.
Great idea, though, Donna. Thank you so much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Oh, what? That is a really good idea, and how sweet of Donna to share with us.
Your idea was the folding car, which I think they had in the Jetsons, didn't they?
Yeah, it folded into his briefcase.
Right. It's a solid idea.
Mine would fold, and you could put it in your back pocket.
Oh, it'd be that small?
Mm-hmm.
You should patent that immediately.
Yeah, I don't even have any idea how to get that started.
Details.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
All right. Somebody texted us at 84 or from 847 saying we share an alley with the alderman's office. So guess what? We got plowed.
Immediately, I would imagine. Yeah. And here it is, by the way. Here's the proof. The 19.3 inches of snow that fell at O'Hare and the 19.2 inches at Midway made this the fifth largest snowstorm since Chicago's been keeping records. So that's
top five, man. We should have gotten a big story about this.
I know. Up until then, and you already know this, this was a far below average snowfall season. But now after Sunday, we're back on par.
You know what, though? I noticed there was no thunder snow.
There wasn't. Like last year, we had thunder snow.
That stuff scared me. And then the big snow we had maybe, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
5 years ago. Remember? It was really, that was Snowmageddon. That was really bad. And it was thunder snowing. And we got all this.
Do you mean the one where everybody was stranded on Lakeshore Drive? That
must have been the one. I know we were both working at another radio station.
I think that was 4 years ago, I think.
This one was just not relentless, so yep. It wasn't a lot of snow at once. But I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I mean, I'm at home, and I went to the grocery store at like 5 o'clock on number four.
But don't you think, Steve, the reason for that is because it happened on a weekend
Sunday,
where most people weren't going to work?
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
It was perfect timing. It kind of made me think about missing my Super Bowl party, but I wanted to go for the barbecue.
Sure. Yeah. But I think if that was on a weekday, this would have impacted so many more people.
Well, it's like I drove to the store just because I wanted something. I don't know.
Was it empty in there?
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah?
No, the day before is when it was packed.
Was it?
Everybody was loading up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to get your milk and your bread and your beer.
I drove past it. I needed things, and I drove past it, and I went, look it, there's people. You can't even park. There's no parking spaces. So
you didn't get your necessities?
No. That's why we ended up, I told you what we had for dinner. Crab Rangoons and Fruit Loops. That's all we had in the house. That was dinner for Sunday. And it actually is very good, very tasty.
I can't see your wife and girls eating the Fruit Loops.
That was mostly me.
That was you and they had the Crab
Rangoons. The Rangoons, yeah.
Yeah, that was mostly me. All right, we've got news coming your way next, so stick around. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Tech Tuesday, and Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder are going to be talking to Bridget Carey from CNET. We are trying to get her on the phone right now. Our schedule's switched a little bit, and I don't know if we've 100% locked into everything.
Oh, all right.
So we're trying to get her, but I have... are you on Instagram?
I don't know what that is. I've heard of it, but I'm not involved.
It's just... Steve, are you on Instagram?
I am, because my daughter is on Instagram, so she sends us pictures from school that we then run from room to room. Look at it! It's gone.
Oh, that's the one that evaporates after a certain amount of time?
It's just awful.
Why? I'm sorry for being so naive.
What do you mean?
Yeah. The picture goes away in, like, I think 18 seconds or something like that.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, it does.
That's Snapchat.
Oh, Snapchat does that?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
And that's what we're going to be talking to Bridget about, because I don't even know what Snapchat is. There are too many things to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And I only sign up for them because then someone else is going to take Wendy Snyder. There's a realtor somewhere who has the website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I just sign up for things. But
that's not competitive at all.
Not even a little bit. Could I buy a property from you, by the way? Is it possible?
I don't. It's not mine. Oh. I wish it was.
All right.
And then this realtor gave it up, or realtor,
mm-hmm.
gave up the website, and then someone snagged it and they want to charge me $10,000 for it. And
just
I said,
do
it doesn't
it.
Really mean that much
Wendy,
to me.
Wendy, just pay it. It's only $10,000. What do you care?
I don't care.
You'll pick up that after a couple of walkthroughs.
Right. Your commissions will more than pay for that.
So you're just on Snapchat, Steve?
Snapchat, I'm sorry, yes.
You're not on Instagram?
I'm not on Instagram, no. But Twitter, obviously, and Facebook.
Can you, for those of us that don't understand the differences or what is that exactly? Because I hear it all the time.
You post a picture, and then you can very easily post those pictures to Facebook and Twitter, which I do. And half the time, I'm just repeating everything, because usually you have the same friends on all these things.
Oh, I would imagine.
Well, that's
sure.
So I see a lot of Instagram pictures because of people I follow on Twitter, so they have it set whenever they post a picture on Instagram. It's also tweeted, so
right.
I see a lot of Instagram, but I'm not on it myself.
Steve, I'm on Etch-A-Sketch. Would you like to follow me on Etch-A-Sketch?
That would be fun, yes.
Right. It's just boxy pictures of me all squared off.
Your right knob has fallen off now. It's just that little metal
I know.
Stick that we're...
I should see a physician about
you
that.
You do make some fine-looking stares.
Thank you. That's most of my posts.
I know. Remember with your Etch-A-Sketch,
right.
You thought you were so great, because
sure.
Look, I'm going to make stares going up, and look, coming down.
Right back down.
All right, so Instagram mm-hmm. is just a place where you can post pictures. And for instance, my youngest son had a snow day, and the caption is, "What my snow day is going to look like." And then what's that a picture of?
The video game Call of Duty and a video controller.
Right.
Meaning he will not be outside shoveling, he'll be inside playing a video game.
And that's what he was doing.
Well, that told a little story. See, that's the reason people are on there.
Yeah, and... the only thing I'm bummed about is I took a fantastic Spielberg-esque video mm-hmm. of the snow when it started to fall.
Mm-hmm.
I found the slow-mo button on my video, and I made a really wonderful slow-motion video of the snow falling, and it was only 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But it looked really cool, and then when I posted it to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, the slow motion was not in effect.
Oh, that's not good.
Because then it just looked like, oh, God, here's some snow coming down. But no, it was artsy.
Oh, you don't need that. Slow-mo is my name on Instagram, by the way. That's my screen name, Slow-mo.
Slow-mo?
Yeah. I think that's a compliment, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't know about Snapchat. So with this, I guess...
My kid, like every time I talk to my daughters, they'll be doing something on their phone, and it's always either Instagram. It's like it's always a word I've never heard of before. Like they'll be pushing buttons, and I'll go, "What are you doing?" And they'll go, "I'm putting it on Bobcat," and I don't even know what that is. And I go, "Oh, it's on Bobcat. That's great."
Is there really a Bobcat?
I don't know. Could be.
All right. Well, I'm looking up Snapchat. We can't seem to find Bridget Carey.
Oh,
like I said.
She's good at Snapchat, but she's bad with the phone.
Right. Yeah, she is.
The girl who's in charge of tech stuff cannot be reached. Interesting. How does that happen?
Maybe she's at a special meeting.
You know what? She got a new Ziggy book. She's looking at the cartoons.
That could be it.
I got it. They're talking about Forbes magazine lists Snapchat as one of the top four apps that you should get. But I can't find out.
I still don't have a single app, by the way. Like everybody said, as soon as you get a smartphone, you're going to have 1,000 apps. They'll just make your life so much easier.
You don't know how to download them.
I don't
them.
Know how to download one.
Well, you should. I mean, there are some apps you could probably benefit from. I mean,
probably.
I pay now my parking at the train station with an app.
Do you?
Yes.
So you just do you
no
just
more shoving
swipe
those
your
dollar
phone?
Bills.
What do you do? Do you swipe your phone across something where you're parking?
No. I just put in the parking space number.
All right.
And it deducts.
It's covered then. You can't get a ticket.
Right.
Oh, that's great. At my health club, Steve, every time I go in, I have to show them a badge. And every time I go in, they go, "Why don't you just put this on your phone? You can just swipe the phone."
That
and
would be nice. I
realize
do the same
it's
thing
me.
At my health club. I would like that.
It's made our life so much easier, Wendy. Now, can I ask you, since you're so into books, Steve, have you switched over to Kindle or something like that? Are you reading books on that instead of regular books now?
No.
You're not?
I have not. Because I still like the feel of a book.
I do too, but are there still bookstores?
Yeah, there's.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anderson's in Naperville.
Oh yeah,
one.
Barnes
yeah.
and Nobles are still around.
The I
bookshop.
Like those. I
Brentano, if you have a time machine.
I loved Crocs and Brentanos.
There's B. Dalton bookseller.
I love B. Dalton. I'll get lost in there for days.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then all of a sudden it's 1982.
I like the smell of books. I agree with you. Plus, I don't have an iPad, and it's really hard to read on an iPhone.
I don't know if you heard my story earlier. This isn't technology.
Harper Lee?
Yes.
I did.
Yes.
How about that?
That's
huge news, and she's still alive, isn't she? She's got to be in her 80s, but I know she's still around.
She's 88, and I'd be interested to see the reporting around this because... you know, I've talked to people just recently who've spent a lot of time with her, and I don't think, you know, she's aged.
Right.
Okay. So
right.
She's not quite as sharp as she used to be. And, you know, this book was apparently written before To Kill a Mockingbird.
Wow.
Now, she had 50 years to release that if she wanted to.
Yeah.
But now I don't know, you know, if there are other people making decisions about her properties.
Oh, that could be.
I don't know, but it just seems hinky to me right now.
But aren't you anxious to read this? This is one of our best authors of a generation.
It's one of the great mysteries why she only wrote and released one book. You know,
yeah.
She never wrote another one.
And she was close with Truman Capote, too, right?
Yes, that's true. Right.
I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah.
And if I'm looking forward to reading a book, it must be
says something.
Good. Julia's on the line. Hi, Julia. What's going on?
You
quit laughing.
You made me laugh. Okay, well, I don't know much more. But all you two remind me of are... Gumbel and Katie Couric saying, Allison, do we know what the at sign? Could you look up .com for us, please? You're trying to
Is it that
out.
Bad? It's that bad,
oh
isn't it?
Oh, my God. Well, they're going to play this on your 25th anniversary on WGN.
Oh.
So at least it's one for the ages.
That is so funny, Julia. But, all right, in a one sentence, tell me what Snapchat is, Miss Smarty Pants.
Hey, Miss Smarty Pants, my twin. I have a 15-year-old, and I don't even know what Snapchat is. Snapchat is the one you said. It disappears in 6 seconds, I think.
And what's so what is the benefit of that exactly? I don't understand the benefit of that.
Nudiness.
Is that what it is?
Yes. I think it is. It can't be traced. It's quick. It's done. It's another unfiltered thought by the youth of America, and then it's gone.
But you could, I'm guessing, you could somehow capture, you could do like a screen capture, couldn't you?
You have to be fast because look how much exercise Steve is getting with his wife just running around the house trying to catch, you know, show people.
Oh, yeah,
I think it's tricky.
All right. All right. So,
all right.
So
all right.
That's the reason behind it is so you can post a naked picture of yourself and not have any incriminating evidence.
Well, what's the point? If I'm posting something of me naked.
If.
Shut up.
Okay.
When?
As my brother says, who's in advertising, if we have to explain it to you, you're not the Democrat.
He's right.
Oh, that's exactly. A good point. And I'm glad we're making you chuckle today, Julia, because someone just texted us, 630, you guys sound like Katie Couric and Bryant Gumbel asking what is the internet.
Yeah. Great you minds see? Thinking alike.
Exactly.
Glad we could make
exactly.
you laugh today and
Thanks,
not
Julia.
Intentionally.
Thanks, kids.
Have a great
have
day.
A good one. What a great call.
But you see, you're much more
am,
of the mind of this stuff.
I am plugged
lost.
In.
I know.
And I really try to stay on top of all this stuff, but I don't have time to manage even just my Facebook account, let alone all these other things.
But see, all right, what you just said is my problem with all this evolving technology is people think it's much better to be up to date on this than actually just living life. It's better to just be so up to date to the second on all this. I enjoyed just like existing and living and not capturing every moment of it the way everybody, you know, you walk down Michigan Avenue now and everyone's just taking pictures of themselves instead of just looking around and appreciating the beauty of it.
You know, you're kind of right, because I got a video camera, and my son Michael does a lot of performances. He's in his high school talent show. He's got a 20-minute set that he's going to do,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to stand there, my arm's going to fall asleep, and I'm going to videotape it, and I'm
instead
not even enjoying
it.
The moment.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah,
that's the biggest fault in all of it.
But then I can go back and watch it, and I was there, and I witnessed it, and
yeah.
I would kick myself if I did not videotape it.
When my daughters were real little, it was a thing every Christmas day, every Christmas morning, I would have the video camera as they woke up and walk down the stairs and open their presents. That was it. And I liked it, and, you know, we could certainly watch it for the rest of the time. But then at some point I stopped doing it, and I was just there to enjoy the moment, and it was so much better. And I know I won't have proof of it for the rest of my life except what's in my memory, but I loved that part of it so much more than getting the right camera angle.
Tell me the truth. You got lazy, didn't you?
mostly.
Because I did too.
I forgot to have the batteries ready one year, and that's why we didn't do it that year.
So you
but
broke
it was better.
A new tradition.
Yeah.
And here's the problem too, with the videotaping things. I totally forgot my thought.
Oh, all right.
That's sometimes what happens.
Right. Well, go to Snapchat and see what you wrote last time and just read that.
That would be helpful. No, oops, it's gone. Anne's going to describe what Snapchat is. Anne will be sitting in for Bridget Carey today. Hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
What do we need to know about
Snapchat,
this?
I don't use it all the time, but I do have it on my phone, and I do have a daughter in college, and I know that it's not just for nudiness.
So she tells you.
She sends me Snapchats. So funny things that she does or things that her and her friends do together. And it is a video, but they also have, and I don't have this, but they also have Snapchat storylines. So you can go back and review someone's Snapchat storyline. So it isn't always, there are different versions of the Snapchat. There are different ways to use the app. Some of the videos are erased, like the previous caller said, within, I don't know, 10 seconds. And some of them remain there for always, and you can go back and review their storyline.
And that's up to you to decide if you want it to just evaporate or to stay forever.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I do know that if you have a Snapchat video and it's like one that's going to disappear in 10 seconds, if you take a screenshot of it, which you can do, I've done it and I'm almost 45, so yeah. It's not like it takes a quick, but you can take a screenshot of it. But if you take a screenshot, the person who posted the snap, who sent you the Snapchat, they get a notification that you took a screenshot of. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's better, I guess.
It's another way for people to track your every move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I sent a Snapchat video to you of, you know, me unclogging a toilet, for example, and if I
that would be exciting
face,
to watch.
Yeah,
Anne.
Send that our way. We'd love to see that.
I'll try and put one together for you. But if you took a Snapchat, it would send the person who sent that to you. It would let them know that you did take a screenshot.
All right, good to know. Well,
not just for nudiness.
Not anymore. We've advanced.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much for clearing that up. I might be more confused.
Come for
now.
The Snapchat, stay for the nudiness. That's their ad campaign. You jump on it while you can.
It should be. And I remembered what I was going to say when you said you stopped videotaping your kids.
Yeah.
I videotaped every Christmas as well, and it was those stupid little mini videotapes that you had to get an adapter to watch,
yeah.
And they were all in a cabinet, and the dog peed on the cabinet. I mean, they're still usable, but we have no way to watch them now.
For nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no good.
So really, what's the point of taking videos?
I don't know.
I wish everything was Snapchat and it could disappear in 15 seconds.
It'd be easier. We have more ahead. Jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We want to thank everybody who called and texted and said that Wendy and my discussion about technology reminded them of Brian Gumbel and Katie Couric's commercial during the Super Bowl, where they were confused about the upcoming internet and who exactly to contact to get involved on the internet.
While I really love being your partner on the radio, I do not like being grouped with you in the not knowing what's going on in the techno world.
I don't blame you. It's me, and I don't want to be grouped with me. I just don't understand anything. And I know I should have kept up to date like from the beginning, but I just didn't, and I'm happier for it. Ignorance is bliss, and I've got that. For everybody who was confused about our discussion, and that would be everybody, Bridget Carey will join us at 11:35 to talk about what exactly Snapchat is and which direction it's headed in.
If you ever go to CNET, CNET.com, I love this website. Whenever I'm buying anything, they have reviews, and you can watch Bridget Carey's CNET update.
Mm-hmm.
It delivers the tech news you need in under 3 minutes. Bridget Carey makes a video every afternoon. Who's right. fighting? Is Pete McMurray here already?
There's fighting out in the hallway. I don't know what it is. Wendy, go break it up.
They're, you know, they're breaking everything.
I know, there's a lot of furniture that's been destroyed in the offices.
Last night,
yeah,
I was listening, and Scott Miller was trying to break the safe, Bob and Marianne's safe.
Right.
And Pete's just giggling.
Yep.
They can't keep destroying all this stuff.
It's a very violent work environment.
But anyway, you can watch Bridget Carey on the CNET update. It's a video. It's daily. In 3 minutes or less, she tells you what's going on. She is talking about Snapchat chat. And I got to watch my mouth.
Yeah, you almost swore.
And she will talk to us about that in an hour. She's at a crazy emergency meeting.
Yeah. All right, we'll figure out more. That's coming up later on in the show. Our friend Mike McNamara from the Midwest Film Festival joins us with a filmmaker who's got a huge debut film tonight, Alex Bay.
Debut.
All that and more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I think we officially can't use this music bed anymore.
Has it been taken?
I think Rokan uses this.
Oh, man. All right.
Just letting you know, we could use it before, but now that he's here, nope, can't do it.
It's all changed. This will be fun. Mike McNamara has been one of our more frequent guests over the past year and a half. He is the executive director of the Midwest Independent Film Festival. It is shown the first Tuesday of every month at remind me the name of the...
Right at Landmark Century
Landmark
Center
Cinema,
2828 Clark.
Landmark Century Cinema. I have been to see it several times.
Yep, yep.
It is one of the most entertaining evenings of film you can possibly be involved in. And today, you've brought a couple of guests, Alex Bay and Mark Hanna, who have put together a locally produced film that Wendy and I saw the first few minutes of, and it's fascinating.
Dying to see it. It sucked me in. I want to see the whole thing.
The film is Warren. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Hi.
Mike, let's start with you, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
How many years has the Midwest Independent Film Festival been going on?
Tonight starts our 11th year.
Congratulations.
Which is mind-blowing to me. Especially since I'm only 16 years old. It's kind of amazing.
Right.
It's impressive.
I started
it in kinder care years ago, and now it's up and running a big.
We're going to do a year-round fest. And people said, well, that's going to be a lot of work. We said, yeah. And then we said, well, we're only going to show stuff that's made in Chicago and the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, 04, 05, there just wasn't a whole lot going on. People were like, you're absolutely crazy. And to be honest, we kind of thought maybe we were too. You know, they were early, in the early going. We thought, is this going to last 3 months, 4 months? And,
11
you know,
years
here we are
later.
11 years later. And there's so many great films happening in Chicago and the Midwest. And we're totally honored to be presenting the Chicago premiere of this one, Warren, with my buddies Alex and Mark right here.
And Alex Bay, yes. I saw you got a little write-up in Bill Zwecker.
Huge write-up.
Love me some Bill Zwecker. Love me some Sun Times.
Yeah,
you know?
Today's Sun Times is there's almost no other story other than the fact that you've made a film.
It's just the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Just the whole
you
paper.
You deserve it.
It's great. Yeah, no, thank you. It's really exciting.
It's the entire paper. Yeah. Guys, check out the Sun Times. Wow. There's a 12-page article.
There's a 50-page article on Warren.
A little bit about Ronner. There's about a page on Ronner and then 73 pages on Alex Bay and his film Warren.
I'm into it.
So we had Bill Zwecker do all our work. I'm just gonna take things from his interview with you.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have an ending for a movie and a script that you had written before, huh?
The first draft started as a notion in 2003. I sent an email to a friend of mine, a guy named Paul Moore, and actually he and I kind of went together and tried to get something together, and it was just 120 pages of a lot of craziness. It just didn't have a story. It didn't have an ending, and so we shelved that, and then 3 years later I went on a run, and I was like, just give me the outline, please, and I came back and wrote for 2.5 hours, wrote the outline, and then 2 weeks later, it was a rainy Friday, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Set the stage here. It was a rainy Friday.
Yeah. All
right.
I'm gonna close my eyes.
I was living in a loft.
Interior or exterior?
Where I was in, it was exterior, and then I went interior.
Okay.
And then I'm it's a loft, right? You know, big high windows. It's just looking outside.
Red brick
or lots of wood. A lot of red brick. A lot of hardwood floors.
Okay. Okay.
And let me tell you something. I just opened that laptop, guys.
And then
30 pages came out.
Macintosh?
And then it was a Mac. It was an Apple iBook G4. And the thing was kernel panicking on me every other 10 pages. So I had to save it, send it, save it, send it. Next day, woke up, 80 pages.
How about
that?
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, so I wrote it in 2 days after 3 years of notes, and it was a great time.
Isn't that crazy that it would take, like, for people who don't make movies, you think idea happens, film is made, yeah. distributed, and right. it's done, yeah. but years and years and years pass.
Years. That was 2006, and, you know, it just came out of me. It was just one of those things, just like, all right, this is enough, and I yeah. just started writing.
And there's just so many mountains to climb. You know, you have the script. That's the biggest mountain, because without a great script, a film's nothing.
Sure. Yeah.
Then you got to get the money to actually make it. It doesn't matter how good the film is, how right. good that script is. Then once you get it made, you think, we did it. Well, now you got to get it out to people.
Distribute yeah. it.
Then you make it into some great film festivals like these guys have all over the country, and you think, okay, we won. Well, no, yeah. now we got to get people to actually
right.
buy
Watch the
film.
Movie. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what starts today. Yeah. Actually, today, we make its Chicago premiere at the Midwest Independent Film Festival, but it's also coming out as of this minute on yeah. iTunes. So you can find it on iTunes if you guys are snowed
Amazon,
in tonight.
Google Play.
Yeah. Watch it Vimeo. Right now. Go to warrenthemovie.com and it'll direct you right to iTunes.
You can watch it right now. We can watch it right now, and then we could do it. Do you want to do that?
All right. Yeah. We can do that.
Guys, let's start the movie.
Let's do that.
Okay.
We'll do that after we take a quick break. We are talking to Alex Bay, Mike McNamara, Mark Hannis here, too, a Chicago producer.
Mark hasn't really let us talk at all.
Yeah,
Mark,
I know.
If you could
Sorry
just let
that.
Us
That's what producers
in.
Do. They're quiet
Please.
Behind the scenes.
Quiet down.
The movie is called Warren, and we're going to tell you who stars in it, because there's two pretty big stars. Mm-hmm. So we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and continue this. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Congratulations are in order to Rick from Palatine. He has qualified to win a pair of tickets to see Barry Manilow at the United Center, his final tour, Bill, one last time.
Right.
And on Friday, we're going to be giving away the grand prize winner from all the people who have qualified, Fanalos, if you'd like to call them. And we'll give you a chance to qualify for these tickets to see Barry Manilow at the United Center on Valentine's Day, February 14th. Complete details and rules, visit WGNradio.com/contests.
Mike McNamara is here. Alex Bay is here. Mark Hanna is here. Mike is here. He makes frequent stops to the show to talk about the Midwest Independent Film Festival, which can be seen the first Tuesday of every month at the Landmark Century Theaters. And then Alex Bay and Mark Hanna have put together a movie called Warren that's getting amazing reviews, has been playing at film festivals all over the place. People love it. As Wendy mentioned, you got some star power going, too, in this movie.
A little bit of star power, yeah. We got some good times happening.
Yeah. Got
yeah,
John Hurd.
John Hurd, Sarah Hayes.
Well, so Alex just passed out there for a second.
The stars are so big that to say their names actually
just,
puts you in a coma.
Too much. Well, we got John Hurd, little movie called Home Alone, a little movie called Big, a little back in the day, good times. Yeah. And then we got Jean Smart, Designing Women. We got Sarah Habel. We got Andrew Santino. We got Nick Rutherford. We got locals Bruce Jarko.
Oh, yeah, from Second City.
He'll kill me. Oh, yeah.
Very funny, man.
All filmed in Chicago. This is totally 100% Chicago.
100%
filmed. Shot
yeah,
Chicago.
And
yeah.
Chicago crew, too. So we were really lucky to have kind of the whole city kind of rally behind this whole film community.
How do you get some of the names, John Hurd, Gene Smart? What do you show them that makes them say, I want to be involved in an independent film like this?
It always comes down to the script and having, connections to him. So I said I love John Hurd. I've seen him in a lot of movies, and we sent the script over to his manager, and he read it and loved it. And then Jean Smart, I'd seen her in a number of films and loved her from, you know,
she looks
kid.
Great in this.
She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is gorgeous, and she's
they're
lovely.
Both amazing in it. Yeah. John Hurd, really, I think as soon as I saw it, you know, which was quite a few months ago, I called Alex immediately and was like, John Hurd is freaking amazing in this film.
Yeah,
he is the guy. He plays your dad.
Yeah,
just blue collar, just so wonderful in this film.
Give us a brief synopsis of it.
Well, the movie's about a barista who's just kind of working at a coffee shop, and he's kind of stuck, not sure what to do. He's in his late 20s. And
he's kind of cute, too.
Oh, wow. All right. I want to meet this guy.
Why Alex, you're blushing.
All right. And all of a sudden, his ex-girlfriend comes back into town. She's engaged, and it starts to spark a lot of old emotions and things like that, an old flame, if you will. And his dad's a guy, John Hurd, who never really left town. He wanted to move and leave, but he just got stuck in a snowstorm and kind of kept blaming that his life on this old story. And his ex-wife is Jean Smart, who's kind of over it. And it's just a story about old kind of dreams, past dreams, things that could have happened, and Warren realizes he doesn't want that to be his life. So it's about pursuing your dream.
Is there any intimidation factor? You're a fairly young guy, a new filmmaker. There's some seasoned pros you're working with. Are you nervous in saying to them, hey, a little more of this, a little less of this?
Well, it's kind of funny. There's a story when John first got to set, I go, well, so the first answer is, there's always a little bit of that, but yeah. Professionals that you work with respect a director, and they know they're the actor. They go to set and they realize they have to do their work, and they get to go do their work.
Right.
And so one of the first days, the first day with John Hurt, I go up to him. I was like, "Hey, John, that was great, man. Let me talk to you about it." Hey. He's like, "Oh, calm it down. You just go back to your throne over there." And there's no secrets here. There's no secrets. So I went back to my my throne, so to speak, and was just yelling at him across set, and he just loved it. He just loved it. He got kick out of it. Yeah, I mean, it was just so.
Think he does a lot of he kind of tests the director, what he's going to be able to put up with, what he's going to take, and what he won't. So
and I kind of pushed through that, and that's what he liked. He loved it. And then Jean gets to set, and she's a professional. She's a pro.
Mm-hmm.
She's got her work done. She's got her lines. Everything's done. And she gets to set, and she delivers, and then you kind of make a couple tweaks, and she's so cool.
Oh, excellent.
And I'm an actor, so I come from that. I know how to – I love actors, and I know how to speak. We know how to speak a language. So.
Sure.
Yeah, but I guess what would keep you from not being nervous is these celebrities read your script and wanted to do your movie, so mm-hmm. you got them.
It's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting. It's very flattering and humbling, and I'm really grateful that they did. It's really cool. It puts everyone on a similar level, you know, and – it's really nice to have someone that loves your material and just wants to work with you. And so,
how much of this is autobiographical?
There's a lot of it that I started. I just wrote what you write what you know as a mm-hmm. writer. And so, my parents got divorced, and I was doing improv in Chicago, and I did work at a coffee shop, and I worked at a restaurant, and so it's just about a lot of my gathering a lot of kind of ideas about what was going on and being in the scene, and so yeah, there's a lot of that, and then there's stuff that I made into a story, and so
it looks so good just from the trailer alone. It really looks so good.
And yeah, we were on top of that, I mean, it's just worth noting that Alex and Mark here, they fought to get this made in Chicago.
Oh, good.
They've got some big LA producers that are involved mm-hmm. with this, and naturally LA guys are going to say, well, why don't we just shoot it here? Why don't we shoot here?
Mm-hmm.
And Alex and Mark said, no, this is shooting in Chicago.
Which is
why, you know, we're so honored to premiere, to have the Chicago premiere tonight, and why everyone that listening here today, even if you can't make it out tonight, go and rent this, buy it on iTunes. It's like $5,
as you pointed
bucks.
Out, as of right now, that's available
right
on
now.
iTunes.
That's on
right.
iTunes, as of right Google Play. This
at
minute,
the moment. Google right. Play.
Go to warrenthemovie.com, because it's critical that when people fight to make a film in Chicago, that Chicago supports that
sure.
film,
yeah.
and it's easy to support it.
And
just buy it, rent it.
And I got to thank, you know, Betsy Steinberg and Rich Moskal at the film office. They were fantastic and completely, you know, championed this thing and opened the doors to us. We shot on Lakeshore Drive. We closed Lakeshore mm-hmm. Drive down in 20-minute intervals. It was just a lot of cool. Like, it was shot all over the city, and it's exciting. I mean,
yeah, it was great. The whole city got behind it, or the film community, and really helped us out.
They
so.
Did. They
what
really
a
did.
What a beautiful sign of support from everybody.
Yeah,
good.
Exciting.
Well, good luck with this, guys.
Thanks.
This is very, very exciting.
I think when you Google the movie, it just comes right up. You can.
It's Warren the Movie. You can Google that. WarrenTheMovie.com is the website. I've already got the lunchbox and the bobblehead.
Yeah,
you guys have marketed this thing.
He's got the T-shirt on, folks, right now.
We're excited for all of you. It's Mike McNamara. It's Alex Bay, and it's Mark Hanna, and again, the film is called Warren, the Movie. It's at the Midwest Independent Film Festival tonight, or as we pointed out, you can download it. Thanks. Yeah. Good luck, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you
Where do listeners get tickets if they're interested to come tonight?
Just go to MidwestFilm.com and check it out, and we'll have tickets there for you. And again, if you want to watch it right now, go to WarrenTheMovie.com.
Perfect.
Congrats, Spillef, Wendy Snyder, and back with more things. I almost stole Chuck Barris's thing.
Back with more stuff on the Yellow Gong Show.
All right, it is, we missed Groundhog's Day by one day.
Right.
Because I was going to say, about this time an hour ago, we introduced Bridget Carey from CNET.
Right.
She is the hostess with the mostest of the CNET update and also a senior editor at CNET. And you had a special emergency technology meeting, didn't you, Bridget?
Always running around for something. Sorry, guys, but I'm glad to be here now.
Well, I'm glad you're here, too, because we started to talk about Snapchat because we thought you were going to be on the line. And it, as it turns out, someone compared us to Bryant Gumbel and Katie Couric, wondering what the internet was and how to get on it. So Snapchat isn't, Bill said it was just mainly for teenagers and for nudie shots.
Right. But, is that true?
Okay. Snapchat was kind of a mystery to me a little bit because it's so teen centric, but anyone can actually join this thing. I'm proof. I did it. I understand it. It's quirky. It's a messaging app where you're supposed to really send disappearing photos and texts to your friends, but there's also another layer to this. We used to hear Snapchat as a place for disappearing photos, which means you can have risky photos. But now there's a way to kind of, in the sense of Twitter or Facebook, have something that broadcasts to anyone who wants to subscribe to you. It's called a story. It lasts 24 hours. It also disappears, but after the day goes by, you can take pictures and draw on them and write little funny notes. It's meant to be lighthearted, and people can see what you're doing throughout the day. So there's two sides to it. And now it's getting more newsy. There's a whole other thing that was added last week where CNN, ESPN, they're starting to broadcast with little short video clips, sending their news articles on this thing. So everyone is trying to learn it now because as a journalist, they're going, okay, what is this? I have to be on it now. You know, are people communicating in this way? And so there's a lot of people who have been experimenting, trying to figure it out. The best way I can say is find a friend to join and just goof around by tapping buttons and figuring it out because there's no clear tutorial necessarily. It's just about trial and error to figure it out.
Bill, will you be my Snapchat friend
no.
and we can mess around and
no.
send stuff? I don't mean mess
this
around.
Sounds
I mean,
dangerous to me. There's no, remind us, Bridget, there's no way if you're sending naked pictures that anyone could possibly intercept them, right? That's impossible, right?
Oh, yeah. I would keep that off of Snapchat. Yeah, because
right.
not only can anyone take a screenshot, you know, but it's also just not exactly for, I would say, sensitive communications.
But
I
for the
it's lighthearted.
For, okay, that's good news. For the story aspect of it, though, is it for people in journalism to share their stories? Is it for everybody to share their stories?
This is a young audience.
Yeah,
you know, so when you're on here, you are just communicating with a younger group to tease for them to go to your site later, maybe, or
teenagers. When you say younger, you mean teenage? That's their demographic.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, there are some 20-year-olds, a few 30-year-old friends of mine are on here, but they're not using it as much because they're also trying to figure it out because we grew up on AIM and Facebook. You know, that's where my group goes. But yeah, I would say this is something where you have a lot of media outlets trying to reach people in a different way. You know, just like how Instagram is just for photos. You can't link anything on Instagram. It's just a way to say what you're doing throughout the day. Think of Snapchat as a way to kind of do a little more with doodles and mixing videos and being, I guess, artistic and quick things that disappear after 10 seconds or a day.
But now, see, here's my question, and I mentioned this earlier too, Bridget. When we got our first snow that was starting on Sunday, I took a picture and I used the slow-mo part of my camera, and it looked so Spielberg-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wanted to post it on Instagram, you can't do a video. And then when I put it on Facebook and Twitter, it was not in the slow-mo form. It went back to regular. So would I have been able to post my artsy snow in slow motion on the Snapchat app?
You know, I think that's just one of those things that it's hard when apps don't accept the slow-mo. I'm going to have to poke around and find out if there is a way, because that's a shame. You want to be able to show off that cool effect. I think it's more maybe you have to find another outlet. Yeah, like I think when it comes to Snapchat itself, you have to record within the app. You can't take what you already, like, and, I mean, everyone's different. Every app's different. But with Snapchat, you have to take the photo that moment, the video that moment. You can't pull from your previously taken photos.
It's all real life stuff happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's real, man. You know, that's like, that's like what teens see is real. You're not like, you know, it's in the now. It's happening right now. It's true. And so
right.
That's why.
Great impersonation of a teenager.
That sounded just like
way.
A teenager, Bridget. That was very enjoyable.
I try.
So if the audience is younger, like on Facebook, the big deal was how many people were following Lady Gaga. So now we need to know how many people are following, like, Dora the Explorer. Is that the big
That's a really good question because there's no count. I mean, I have a lot of people following me now because I told the world what my username was on my show.
Yeah.
But I can't see. There's no counter number I can like show off like, look how popular I am.
But you they'll know? Have to change that because this needs to be made attractive to advertisers. So they'll want to know how many people are following you, right?
Yes. Advertising is going to be big on here. In fact, Snapchat just started making its own video shows that only are here every Saturday, so it disappears after a whole day, like a little video series where you know, can see it only on one day. AT&T is working on their own show. There's a lot of ads within that journalism site I told you about with CNN, and I saw something sponsored by McDonald's on there where a big ad was showing up. So they see this as their way to make money. And yes, I'm sure they're going to have to like do something to give people more incentive, like companies, to want to get on here and start marketing more on it.
Did Al Gore also invent this? I know he's behind a lot of these internet ideas. You know,
it is a bit convoluted to use, so I don't know.
We got to come up with an idea here. You have, you know, your Facebook, which is now for people our age and up, because really, kids that are on it and are like, oh, my mom and dad are on it, so they don't want to be on it anymore.
Right.
Instagram's very popular, but I want to come up with something for babies, because they're going to start getting cell phones earlier and earlier.
Right.
And maybe like a social network called like My First Tooth.
Oh, that's good.
Where all the babies can share pictures of their first tooth.
Or Gugu, which is like Google, but
for
babies.
Oh, I like that.
All right.
All right. We're
on to something.
All right.
We got to figure that out. And then like you could even do it for the first time they lost a tooth, you know, so it could take some older kids as well.
But it can't miss.
I mean, it's toddler, I guess, baby through toddler through tween.
I hate to interrupt this awesome
show
with reality, but there really is something called Vine Kids. Oh. You might have heard of Vine, those six-second videos that Twitter owns.
Yeah.
But now they just made an app this week where you download this on your phone. It's a separate app, Vine Kids, and it's just kid-friendly video clips. And you hand your phone to your kid, and they just start clicking and looking, scrolling through these quick flashing videos, as if they didn't already have enough problems with attention. and this is something that every 6 seconds something will flash on the screen. So you can rest assured it's kid friendly.
But Bridget, really it does say that in a generation or two, our attention span will be 3 or 4 seconds, and then that's it, which is so scary to me.
Yeah, instead of Twitter, it's just blip, and that's it.
It's scary to you. How do you think teachers are going to teach these kids
impossible.
In 3 second bursts?
Impossible. It can't be done. More with Bridget Carey from CNET in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Yep, we are taking care of the tech business right now. I love this song.
I like when you blend with Bachman Turner Overdrive.
I can't help myself.
That's fun.
It's the DJ coming out in me. Bridget Carey is on the line with us. She is host of the CNET Update. 3 minutes or less, you're going to see a great video explaining things. She's also a CNET senior editor. And we were talking Snapchat moments ago, and someone just texted us, my kids always comment on who's showing up on their Snapchat favorites list. The top 3 Snapchat followers show up on your Snapchat. Not good if it's your boyfriend or girlfriend. Any comment on that, Bridget?
Well, it will show who you snap the most with. I'm still a newbie. So I think you also can follow people that you don't know. And I guess if you're snapping with people or you're interacting with people you don't know, I guess it definitely is an indicator if you're looking on someone's Snapchat if they're talking with someone else that maybe they shouldn't be talking to. Like, why is your boyfriend not your top one? Or why is, you know?
But you have the option. If I wanted to send something out to one person, I could do that, or a select few, or to everybody. Those are all options.
Yes. Okay. It's not just broadcasting to the world. It started out as a private one-on-one kind of thing.
All right.
It's much easier to just have a radio show.
Yes. We recommend everybody just do that. It's much easier. Trust us.
It used to be special, though, and now everybody
can. Yeah, it's too easy.
Yeah.
Bridget, I don't know if you saw this news, but this certainly falls under the guise of tech news. Radio Shack has made a deal with Sprint, and it looks like they're closing at least half of their stores
How did things go so sour for Radio Shack?
There's also a rumor that maybe Radio Shack will sell some stores to Amazon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's both those are flying out right now. It's a little sad how you know, when it comes to Radio Shack, people just didn't see it as the go-to place, you know, to get what they need, because obviously there's Amazon, you know, speaking of which, and online sales that, you know, kind of took over everything. And people used to go to Radio Shack for those little bits and pieces, which people don't really do anymore. They don't build their own things. I just actually found great deals at Radio Shack over the holidays, because everything was so discounted because they were so desperate for business. I got a lot of good holiday deals that way. But yeah, it's one of those things where people don't take the time to go there anymore for small things.
Do you remember, boy, this would have been maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they tried to rebrand themselves. They weren't calling themselves Radio Shack anymore. It was just The Shack.
Oh,
and that
so
didn't
bad.
Last long.
That during that time, that was when they were desperate to just be hip again, and they remodeled their stores. Like you've kind of conceded the difference, and how in the beginning it's no longer like RC cars, but it's more about like get your Bluetooth speaker here in your case, and they really brought a lot of that technology to the front to kind of catch your eye, and less so on the kids' RC toys, you know. Mm-hmm.
And that, I feel so bad because last year's Super Bowl spots with them, it was perfect. And that's the branding, you know, the 70s called.
They want their store back.
But they had the Bluetooth speakers and they had the things, but they still did sell the handheld transistor radios.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Radio Shack is a whole other world to me.
I remember for a long time, if you went in there and even paid cash for something, like you'd buy some L-shaped bolt that would do something, and even if you paid cash,
what's your name?
You'd have to fill out a sheet,
what's
with
your
name and address and phone and astrological sign, and it's a $4 transaction.
I know, and I'm paying cash, so really, why do you need this stuff?
Yeah. I used to give them your name and address, Wendy.
Got a lot of dates from that. I meant to thank you for
that. You're welcome.
If they become Amazon stores, this could be a place where they put lockers in so you can have things delivered to that store and pick it up later, kind of like a P.O. box of stuff.
They still have some of those, though, don't they? There are some Amazon stores like you just described, aren't there?
There's some lockers around, but never like a store.
No, they're going to be. We just got a bunch of Amazon jobs here in Illinois, but I don't think it's opened yet.
Huh.
Oh, well, yeah, it's still new. I mean, they've been talking about, like, maybe they'll have flash stores for the holidays, but I don't know about, like, a walk-in, go shop like you do at Best Buy kind of situation. It's more like places where you can, you know, just have things delivered to you. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with it, if it is true, if they end up going with that deal.
There was a store near me for a little while. It didn't last long. That was an eBay store where you could come in and drop off whatever you wanted to sell on eBay, and they would do the listing for you. They would ship it out for you. There was a cost, certainly. But I thought at the time, I go, oh, this is going to be great for them.
Until people realized they could do it themselves very easily.
Yeah, yeah.
See, everybody's just scared of technology. That's really what it is. I mean, Bill, honestly, here's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
You claim to not be able to use your phone. I think that's just an excuse when you don't want to take my calls.
It's, well, all right. It's true.
But you taught yourself how to sell stuff on eBay. If you can figure that out. And
anybody
didn't mean to say it that
true.
Way. But
it's true.
You're no technological wizard. That's for sure.
Thank you.
So if you can figure it out, anybody
can. Anybody can. It's very true. Yeah. Also, Bridget, we don't have a whole lot of time but I know this has been a huge topic. Net neutrality. Explain a little bit about what's going on, because a lot of people are talking about this right now. What does that mean?
It's a hot topic this week, and it's a boring name, but it's important because it involves every website that you visit. The best way to describe net neutrality, and it's a complicated topic, is that it's the concept that you should be able to get to every website the same. There shouldn't be a website shouldn't have to pay Comcast or Verizon or Time Warner more to get to your home faster. Because what's happening is you have the internet service providers like the Comcast looking at Netflix, and Netflix is coming in with this big truck of videos, and they're saying, you know what, you have to pay more to get to Wendy's home better, because otherwise she's going to see VHS quality. And so
these websites have to pay to play, so to speak. And then the little guy who can't afford to pay, you know, feels, hey, wait a second, why does that data get to that home first? That's not fair to me. So this is the debate. Does the government step in and start regulating this and saying what can be charged and what can't be charged? Obviously, you know, Comcast and Verizon and AT&T, they don't want to have such, you know, strict, you know, rules be put on them. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to happen all month long. They're going to be a proposal officially released on Thursday. You might hear about it a little earlier leaked. And then on February 26th or so, there's going to be a vote. So essentially the government could be regulating the internet more.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess there's a little of each.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Netflix is charged more, that cost could go to you in the end. So when it comes to consumers, most consumers are voting for let's keep things neutral.
All right, I go for neutral if it's going to cost me less.
All right, that's fair. Great to talk to you, Bridget.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Yeah, I just want to throw in a funny text we just got. No joke, I am listening to you guys right now on a Radio Shack handheld transistor radio. Oh. So you're the one.
They're a Tandy company, Wendy. You understand
yes,
that, don't
are.
You? All right.
All right, Bridget, we will talk to you next week. Have fun in the world of tech, and we will watch you on the CNET update.
Thanks. Take care.
She's Bridget Carey, CNET senior editor.
Bob and Marianne are here. They will talk at a much more moderate pace, I'm guessing. Hi, guys.
Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe if we do our show at that speed, we'll just get twice as many things in.
You kind of already do this.
Marianne does. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. What happened on this date, you two old rock and rollers, February 3rd, 1959?
I know.
It's a bad thing, I bet, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It would probably not be remembered if it was just a good thing.
Was there a plane crash?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did some greats go down in the plane crash? Mm-hmm. Was the Big Bopper one of them?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to flip all the cards.
Richie Valens involved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Buddy Holly.
Buddy mm-hmm. Holly. Yeah.
The Day the Music Died.
Yeah. Yep.
And Bob Hale, who worked at the Big 89 down there for quite a few years in the early 60s. Before he came to Chicago, he was a disc jockey in Iowa. And the last show those guys did... they were on tour, Holly and Big Bopper and Richie Valens. The last show they did was at the Clear Lake Ballroom there, and Bob Hale emceed that show.
Yeah.
And he's got some very interesting stories about that night. We'll talk to him at 2:08
nice.
Today.
I will be listening for that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. And also, due to fate, Waylon Jennings was not on that plane. But Bob will have all of that for you later on.
That's an interesting story.
Yes, it is. And you two have a nice day, and we'll see you back
tomorrow
morning.
Thank you.
That's right. Meantime, please be nice to the customers you wait on at Radio Shack.